Today we celebrate a great privilege of our Blessed Mother that she was conceived without sin, meaning that from the very first moment of her existence, she was preserved from all stain of sin, even from the stain of original sin, which the rest of us have inherited as descendants of Adam. And this, as you know, was defined as a dogma of our faith by Pope Pius IX in 1854. And of course, contrary to what non-Catholics sometimes claim, that doesn't mean that it was a new teaching in 1854. It simply means that the Pope infallibly defined that, as a matter of fact, Mary's Immaculate Conception is not something just simply believed by some Catholics, but that it has always been believed by Christ Church and taught because it was revealed by God, and that therefore it is an article of faith which we must believe. There is, I have seen it in on a shelf in the library, there was a bishop in the 1800s who put together a compilation of all the references to Mary's being conceived without sin, her Immaculate Conception, going back through the whole history of the Church back to Christ. And it makes a whole shelf of large volumes, all this testimony to Mary's Immaculate Conception. No, it's not a new teaching. It's something that has always been believed. If we look into sacred scripture for references, we see the greeting that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary, which St. Luke records, and St. Luke wrote in Greek in his Gospel. St. Luke refers to two different people as full of grace, as he wrote the Acts of the Apostles as well. And in there he refers to St. Stephen as full of grace. And in his Gospel he refers to Mary as full of grace, but he uses a different Greek word when he calls Mary full of grace. Ke karitomene, he says, of Mary. That means a fullness of grace which is lacking in nothing. It is a fullness of grace that doesn't admit of any sin. And the great proof from Scripture is Genesis 3:15, where God is speaking to Satan after the fall of Adam and Eve. And he says, I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head. God himself foretold there would be a woman who would be the perfect enemy of Satan. And it's obvious if Mary was ever under the empire of sin, even by having been stained for a moment with original sin on her soul, she would not be that perfect enemy of Satan that would cooperate with our Lord in undoing the devil's work, just as Eve, the old Eve, cooperated with Adam in our downfall. There was to be a new Eve who would cooperate in our redemption. And if we understand what sin is, the evil of it, we can easily see that God could never permit that his mother would be stained by sin. We so easily commit venial sin, but do we realize it's venial sin is the worst evil in the world, except for mortal sin. Venial sin is worse than one venial sin, one lie, one venial sin against charity is worse than all the natural disasters in the world, because a venial sin is an offense against the Creator, the infinite being, God. And could God's mother ever be stained with sin? So yes, Mary was conceived without sin. She never had sin in her whole life. And this is the great privilege we celebrate of our Blessed Mother. Another thing that's important to recall today, because the Church decrees so, is a reminder. Today and always, we honor Mary's Immaculate Conception. Also, we think of her great purity. And we ask her for a share in her purity. And so the Church says, reminds priests on this feast day that they should remind the faithful of the importance of modesty, especially in dress. That was what the decree of the Sacred Congregation of the Council in 1930 said. Every year, especially on Feasts of Our Lady, and especially on this feast, the priest should remind the faithful of that importance of modesty, and especially for women in dress. And on that point, I wanted just to share something that Cardinal Stritch of Chicago said in 1954, which was a year dedicated to Our Lady. It was the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the Immaculate Conception being defined. And in May, Our Lady's month, in that year, he wrote a pastoral letter in which, among other things, he said, "In our devotion to our Blessed Lady, we see in her God's masterpiece of womanhood. The Church holds her before us in all the splendor of her sanctity, and bids us see in her God's ideal of womanhood. She has given to woman a sacredness which prompts us to revere her in every woman. We teach our girls to try to be Madonnas, and we teach our boys to see in all women the Madonna. A Catholic people has thrown about their women holy conventions which bespeak their reverence of our Blessed Lady in respect and courtesy for women. When these conventions are observed in the spirit which brought them into being, men treat women with deep reverence and honor our Blessed Lady in them. What a tragedy it is that this high ideal of woman has disappeared in the minds of many men. The pagans had their Venus, and she brought them to degrading, corrupting sensuality. In our day, when sensuality promenades in our public places and is acclaimed as just realism, we know the tragedies it is bringing and the awful havoc it is doing. The trouble is that God's ideal of womanhood, God's masterpiece of womanhood, is forgotten. Where the Madonna ideal obtains in men's minds, the dignity and sanctity of woman will be respected, and men will know how, with God's graces, to subject the concupiscence of their fallen natures to right reason. They will look upon virginity of body and soul with their eyes fixed on the Immaculate Virgin, Mother of God. Marriage will indeed be what St. Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians tells us it is, a great mystery in which conjugal love is like the love which Christ has for his Church. Parenthood will be a holy thing without stain or blemish. Before all the world today, which talks much, we repeat over and over again our deep reverence for women, in which we see the model of all womanhood, our Blessed Lady. Let men look on her, and they will find how in her there is the answer to and the remedy for the terrible sin of sensuality today, of which today is corrupting men and society. Chastity is the answer, virginal chastity outside of holy marriage and conjugal chastity in marriage. This ideal is not impossible. Look to the Immaculate Virgin, Mother of God. Invoke her unfailing intercession with her divine Son. We shall whisper her name to our babes. We shall show her splendor to our children. We shall lead our youths to her feet, and we shall be, in very truth, children of Mary. So, turn to Mary, ask that great ideal of purity and modesty. And lastly, we know that Mary, under her title of Immaculate Conception, is the patroness of our country. Our country certainly has much to be accountable for the immorality in the world. But we do have this great grace that somehow, in our history, Mary, as immaculately conceived, was chosen as our special patron. And this is one thing of which our country can be very proud. This was in 1846, the bishops petitioned Rome, as they met in council, to have the Immaculate Conception be the patroness of our country. And they asked that this be a holy day of obligation in this country, and that we be able to add to the litany the invocation, Mary conceived without sin, pray for us. And this was 8 years before it was defined as a dogma, and the bishops later petitioned Rome to define it also as a dogma. And the Immaculate Conception had a history in our country even long before that, when St. Isaac Jogues came to New York to preach to the Indians there. He dedicated it to the Immaculate Conception. When Father Marquette came exploring through the Midwest, he was waiting along the Great Lakes for permission from his superiors to come, for him to head west to find the Great River, the Mississippi River, as we call it now. The permission came on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And so when he found this great river, the Mississippi, he named it the River of the Immaculate Conception. That was the name of the, given to the river that divides our country. So turn to Mary today. Remember, she protects our country. Pray to her for a great love of purity and to be very careful in keeping our souls free from sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.